All right, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Nehemiah chapter 2. Let's go there, if you will. Does everybody have a handout? All right. Anybody need one? Yes, ma'am. You need a handout? Okay. All right. Pastor Kim, would you? Yep, Francis. No. Bonnie, and don't tell me. Who?
Kevin.
I knew it. Yeah. Did you get over to see Vance today? Did you get over to see Vance today? Oh, you did? Okay. All right. Well, I know y'all gonna help us. Oh, did you put a horn on it? Oh, okay. Were his spirits good today? Were they? Okay. Well, I talked to Marcia first. She called me, and then I talked to Vance secondary, and he said, Pastor, he said, I know where I'm going. He said, the only thing I'm worried about is Marcia. I said, Vance, I said, you don't have to worry. I said, we'll take care of Marcia. So he said, I know you will, Pastor. He said, but I don't want to leave her. So but anyway, where is Nehemiah at in the Bible? I know, I'm still looking for it. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. Okay. I'm going to have to get me one of the little tabs for the books in the Bible. All right, there we go. Well, I tell you what. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Let's start there. All right. All right, Hebrews 13, verse 6. We're going to read that verse, and then we'll go back to Nehemiah chapter 2. We're talking about becoming a spiritual leader. Becoming a spiritual leader. And as I said a couple of weeks ago, in regard to Nehemiah to me, outside of Moses and David had his faults. He had many faults, but he was still a man after God's own heart. Outside of Moses, I think Nehemiah is probably the greatest leader of the Old Testament. Maybe Joshua. Joshua could be up there. But Nehemiah is definitely an example that we can learn from in regard to how to be a spiritual leader. So let's read Hebrews 13. In verse 6, where it says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. But so that we may, how? Boldly. So we may boldly say, who is my helper? The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So now let's go back to Nehemiah chapter 2. How many of you men in here can remember when you went to your future father-in-law and you had to ask the question? How many of you remember that? I remember when I went to Mr. Edge, I was scared to death. He was working in his garage. He was rebuilding an alternator. And I made sure it was in the garage, not inside the house where a shotgun was. And my friend David, who passed away a couple of years ago, we were playing golf, and he told me when Heather, his daughter, was getting married, the son-in-law asked David, said, asked for her hand in marriage. He said, that boy was scared to death. He said, and I'll tell you why he was scared to death. I said, why? He said, because I told him to say, you mistreat Heather, I'll kill you. And I know of places I can bury you, and they'll never find you. No. But he, it was a nervous time. It was a nervous time for me. It was a nervous time for him, too. And then her mom, I was more worried about her mom than I was her dad. But then her mom got home. She was out running her auto parts route, and as she got home, and the garage door was open, she walked in, and he said, "Well," he asked a question. And she said, "What question was that?" "Well, you know," he didn't want to say what question it was. But have you ever had that time in your life of where you knew you needed to ask somebody something, but it was a nervous time? I think we all have been there. Well, tonight we're going to look at Nehemiah, and he needed to ask the king a question, but was nervous to do so. So let's read verses 1 through 3 is going to be our launching pad tonight. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Antaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, "Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart." Then I was sore, or I was very, or I was much afraid, and said unto the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire?" So last week we finished up with how we need to pray when faced with adversity. And that was the latter part of chapter 1, 4 through the end of the chapter there of verse 11. Of how we need to go before the Lord when faced with adversity. But now tonight we're going to talk about how we need to use opportunities to show our boldness for the Lord. To show boldness for the Lord. So the first thing is this: there is an opportunity. An opportunity. And the first sub-point underneath this is God's time. The opportunity came in God's time. Now let's review for a moment. In Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 1, it gives the month Chislu. And then also in verse 11, it gives also the name of the month of Chislu. Or this day is what it says there, to let us know that it was the same month of Chislu. Now, as we see in chapter 2, though, it gives another name of a month. And what is that? It's the month Nisan. The month of Chislu is the months of November and December. Nisan is the months of March and April. So about 4 months has gone by now. So what has Nehemiah been doing now for 4 months? What has he been doing? Praying. He heard the bad report of what has happened in Jerusalem, how the walls have been torn down, the gates have been burned. He is distressed of heart. He was saddened. He was broken heart over it. He goes before the Lord in prayer. He confesses his sins. He confesses the sins of his people. He confesses. He repents. And now 4 months go by. What is he praying for? I believe that he is praying for an opportunity to go before the king. He knows of God's timing. He knows that God is sovereign and yet God's timing is always right. Now, what does this show about the character of Nehemiah? It shows of his character, of how he is dedicated to his people in prayer. You know, often our timetable does not match God's timetable. But let me say this. God's timetable is always right. God's timetable is never wrong. We may try to rush God's timetable. We'll try to rush it. Just like, you know, when we were kids. Dad, I want that now. I want it now. And our parents say, no, you're not ready for it now. Okay? I can't imagine as a 16-year-old getting a brand new car. I can't imagine what I'd have done with that thing. It's bad enough having a Chevette. I tell kids, you know, when I ask them, I say, "What, you know?" They'll ask, Mr. Smith, what was your first car?" A Vette. Don't tell them it was a Chevette. I just tell them it was a Vette. They don't need to know the rest of the story. You know, because God's timing is always right. We can't rush it. We have to wait on it. One of my favorite verses is Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There are many times we have to wait upon the Lord. Let's go to Psalm chapter 37, if you will, please. Psalm chapter 37 and verse 5. And if you don't have this verse underlined in your Bible, I think it would be a very wise thing for you to do so. But Psalm 37 and verse 5, this is what it says. Are you there with me? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit your way unto the Lord. Devote it. Give it to the Lord. Trust also in Him. Depend upon Him. And He shall bring it to pass. What was Nehemiah doing here? He had committed going back to Jerusalem unto the Lord. He was trusting in the Lord, and he was waiting for the Lord to bring it to pass. But that leads to another thing, a fearful event. A fearful event. Now, God answers Nehemiah's prayers in a very unusual way. How many of you have ever had God answer your prayers in a very unusual way? I have. I've had prayers answered in a very unusual way. I remember we were living in California, and what was that green car? A Buick Skylark, wasn't it? Well, it lasted. We had a that thing was an ugly green, wasn't it? It's called Hunter Green. Is that what it was called? Well, okay, you say it wasn't. All right. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Yeah. So anyway, we drove that thing until it just about fell apart. I mean, literally it did. I'm on my way home from school one night, and y'all went home early. I think I may have taken y'all home, and I had to go back to the school because I think I had basketball practice or something. So I was going back home, and that thing started shaking. Like this. And I could take you right where I was. It was right there in Warner Center, there in West Hills, big shopping area. And I said, Lord, you have got to give me a new car. I can't afford a new car. You have got to give me a new car. And that thing was, and I got home, and I walked in the house. I said, man, I said, I don't know how much longer that car is going to make it. And I got a phone call. No, you got the phone call. She got a phone call. And she was back in our bedroom forever. Seemed like for a good hour. And finally she came out, me and the kids had already ate. She came out and she said, you won't believe this. I said, what? She said, you're not going to believe it. Believe what? You're just not going to believe this. What? I said, that was so-and-so. I said, okay, what does she want? They want to buy us a new car. I said, you're kidding me. She said, no. Said, you go pick the car for this amount of dollars, and they're going to buy us the car. It was a Ford, and we ended up getting a Ford Explorer, very low mileage. It was a doctor had had it. It was my favorite color. I wanted one with a CD player. Not only did it have a CD player, it had a 5 CD player in it. It was exactly right. But God does answer prayers unusually. Now, let's look here at verse 2. Let's look. It says, "Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? There is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was much afraid." Now, let me explain to you why he was afraid. Now, what was the job of Nehemiah? He was the king's cupbearer. He tasted the wine, he tasted the food before the king would eat, because if someone poisoned it, Nehemiah would die before the king would. Very, very trusting job. Probably the most important job in the kingdom. So he trusted him. So he looked at Nehemiah. Evidently, the countenance of Nehemiah was evident that something was wrong. You know, there are some people that they could just, their whole world could have come crashing down, but their countenance is still going to be a good countenance. But then there's other people that just can't hide it very well. Well, for 4 months now, Nehemiah has been hiding it very well, but now it's come to a point where he can no longer hide it. Now, here's the reason why he was very much afraid. You were to never show any sadness or displeasure in the presence of the king, especially if you worked in the palace. Because if you showed any displeasure, that would reflect upon the king. And if you showed any kind of displeasure towards the king, execution. You would be taken out, snuffed out, and another person brought in. That is why he was very much afraid. So the king now wants an immediate answer to the reason behind the change of moods in Nehemiah. But Nehemiah's appearance here, though, is opening up a door for Nehemiah. And I believe this, that Nehemiah had built up, over a period of years, had built up enough credibility in the presence of the king that he could be trusted, and that the king could just simply ask Nehemiah, "What's wrong?" That it had to be something serious for Nehemiah's countenance to be down. It just wasn't every day that his countenance was down. He asked him, "What is wrong? Why is your countenance down?" So now Nehemiah sees an opening here. Back in Ezra chapter 4 and verse 21, King Antaxerxes, who was the father of this king, had ordered all of the walls of Jerusalem to cease. But Nehemiah sees now that there's an advantage, that the opportunity is now opening, that he is now seeing of how God is beginning to answer his prayers. Let me ask you a question. Is it okay for us to be afraid and trust God at the same time? It is. Just like our speaker said this past Sunday, it is okay to ask God why. Job asked that question. David asked that question. Read the Psalms. So when people say you shouldn't question God, you're already questioning God in your heart, and God already knows that. You may as well just be honest with him. So now we see in verse 3, let's go there if you will, in verse 3, where it says, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad? When the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire. Now let me ask you a question. Here is some wise boldness here. Wise boldness. He immediately answers the question. But now what is missing? I'm going to ask for y'all to now to look at this verse, verse 3, and tell me. See who can answer it. What is missing? No? What did you say? No? What did you say, Jeff? You said fear? What did you say, Jeff? You didn't. Okay, I thought you did. It's a place. What is the name of the place that is missing? Jerusalem. He doesn't mention Jerusalem by name. Now, he knows what he's talking about, but the king doesn't. He is very wise here in how he answers the question, because he knows how his father ruled. His father had already ruled that the walls of the city be burned down and the gates be burned down as to not cause any kind of rebellion. Because Antaxerxes had received false reports that if they built the walls, then they would be causing a rebellion against the king. So the king then sent word, tear down those walls so there won't be a rebellion. So that they won't set up their own little kingdom. They still have to be underneath me. So he doesn't mention the name of the city. He mentions this. My father's what? Sepulchres. Now why is that significant? Because in Persian culture, the father's, the ancestors' sepulchres are treated with great glory and great respect. Just like our society today. You know, when we hear on the news someone going into a cemetery and spray painting the tombstones and the headstones or knocking them over and things, what do we think? Man, what disrespect to the dead. Let's see, they were pagans. So what do pagans believe about the dead? Reincarnation. Or gods. So to King Antaxerxes II here, he is thinking, wow, he needs to go back and take care of his ancestors' graves. He has such respect for his ancestors here. So now we need to see in point number two here, we see God's control. See God's control. Let's look at verse 4. Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? What are you asking for? What do you want? What do you need? So I prayed to the God of heaven. So God moved the heart of the king. God moved the heart of the king. We see in Proverbs that God controls the heart of the king and as rivers of water, and he turns it however he wants. Antaxerxes here does not punish Nehemiah for his open expression of sorrow. In fact, he does the complete opposite. And what is that? He asks Nehemiah, How can I help you? So who is in control here? Not the king. God is in control of this situation. God is in control of the king's heart. God is in control of the king's mind. So during this four-month period of time, Nehemiah is praying. What is he praying for? I believe he's praying for many things, but there are two things I believe he is praying for specifically. Number one, that he could go back to Jerusalem, and number two, that the king's heart would be softened. We don't know how hard of a king Antaxerxes was, but evidently he was harsh enough that if you did any kind of displeasure to him, you were done. You were done, not just done out of the palace. You were done physically. You were snuffed out. But then we see the latter part here of verse 4. We see that Nehemiah recognized God's leadership. It says, what? So I prayed. Now, next Wednesday night, I'm going to start something new. I have done this before with another book, but I'm going to do it again next week. I'm going to take about 5 minutes of each Wednesday, and I'm going to read from you a book entitled The Prayer That Turns the World Upside Down. And it's a book that was recently given to me at Together for the Gospel Conference. In fact, I'm going to give away a copy of it this upcoming Sunday morning. Written by Al Mohler, a breakdown of the Lord's Prayer. Probably the most famous prayer in God's Word. I'm going to break it down. But now, how does he pray here? Does he drop down on his knees and does he give this great long pretense? Is that what he does? No, I believe this is a quiet, silent prayer in his mind. Quick. You know, sometimes we just have to send quick prayers. He sends a quick prayer and says, Lord, help me. Give me wisdom. Give me guidance here. I've got to have your help. So he prays. And the next thing is this, Nehemiah's request. Nehemiah's request. We're going to break this down very quickly. Let's read verse 5. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. So what kind of request was it? We're going to break it down. Number one, it was a respectful request. Respectful. He begins with it, if it please the king. If it pleases you, you are the king. If it pleases you. Not only was it respectful, it was humble. It was humble. Because what does he call himself here? Thy servant. Thy servant. So it was respectful. He showed humility. He was tactful. Once again, he avoided using the name of the city. Now, he does say Judah, but he avoids using the name of Jerusalem. He did not want to put any kind of harm to the request. And then it was a bold request. He exhibits great courage here in asking him to go back to the city of his forefathers. Now, number four here. Let's look at the king's answer. The king's answer. Verse 6. And the king said unto me, now notice, probably in your King James, you've got the little parentheses things there. What is it, those little parentheses things? The queen also sitting beside him. Okay, who is this queen? Anybody want to take a stab, a guess? Huh? It was not Esther, but you're close. It's Esther's daughter. It was Esther's daughter. One scholar says that Antaxerxes' queen was sympathetic to the Jews because of the effect that Esther had had upon her. Because what nationality was Esther? She was Jewish. So, the king grants permission. Bless you. He grants permission. It says, the king said unto me, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. So he gives him permission. Let's look at verse 7. Verse 7. It is, moreover, I said unto the king. Whoa, okay. He's got permission to go. Now he starts adding the grocery list to it. In verse 7. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governor beyond the river, that they may convey me or allow me over till I come into Judah. So, the king grants a safe passage. That's what this letter is. This letter is given a safe passage to be able to go back to Judah. And then the king grants necessary provisions. Not only does he give him a letter, but he also gives him food, and he gives him the materials to rebuild the walls. Let's look at verse 8. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. And the king granted generously because of God, as we see there. The king granted because of God. So what do we need to learn here? What do we need to learn? Are we stuck? Okay, there we go. So what do we need to learn? Well, as we go through life, and it doesn't matter what phase of life we're in, there are fearful challenges that we all face. They could be health, financial, employment. There's always a fearful challenge, but how do we meet them? Well, here's some invalid excuses. Well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Or someone else could do a better job. I hear that one a lot. Someone else could do a better job. I asked somebody to teach Sunday school class. Well, somebody could do a better job than me. I'm not qualified. The risk is too great. Okay, there's many, many others that we could come up with, I'm sure. But what do we need to come up with? Follow God's leading. Trust Him. Put confidence in Him. Ask God for boldness and the ability to exercise that boldness for His glory. I was watching today an interview that, it's a question and answer time that, R.C. Sproul and John MacArthur. And when they first met, when R.C. Sproul first met John MacArthur, R.C. Sproul gave John MacArthur a nickname. And the one doing the interviewing asked MacArthur, he said, do you remember the nickname that R.C. Sproul gave you? He said, yes, I do. He said, what was it? He said, Boris. I thought, Boris? What's that got to do with anything? It is. How many remember the name Boris Yeltsin? How many remember seeing when the walls of communism came down, Boris Yeltsin stood on a tank and led that new Russian government to establish a new government. He was standing on that tank for what was right. He was standing against wrong of communism. R.C. Sproul gave John MacArthur that nickname because John MacArthur always stood for what was right. Still does. Still does. That's what we need to do. And sometimes it's not popular. Sometimes it's not popular. But we still need to stand for what's right. Father God, thank you for the study tonight. Help us to be bold for you. May we boldly say, as in Hebrews 13, that you are our helper and that we will not fear what man can do unto us. Dismiss us with thy blessing. We pray as we go throughout the rest of the week that, Father, we honor you with our words and our thoughts, our actions, our attitudes and motives. In Jesus' name we pray. I pray that our hearts will be prepared for this upcoming Sunday, for the Lord's Day. And I pray that you would prepare me as I prepare the messages for this upcoming Sunday as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, have a great rest of the week.